Do you know how many times I've set the intention that on Sunday, I'm going to get up, I'm going to plan my meals out for the week, I'm going to go to the store, I'm going to get everything that I need, I'm going to come home, I'm going to make all my meals for the week. Do you know how many times I've actually been successful in doing that? Not once, folks, okay? Not one single time. But alas, I have found the perfect solution. Meet Sunbasket, a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your damn door. You get to pick and choose what you're in the mood for every week. Maybe one week you're feeling Mediterranean, maybe another week you're feeling a little carb consciousness. I like the sound of that. I most recently made, it was a spinach and strawberry salad with steak. It was damn good. So go to sunbasket.com/adultchild today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/adultchild to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday, Shit Show Saturday, folks. How's it going? So you're going to get to hear our group from this past Thursday, but real quick, I wanted to hit you with 8 reasons why you should really be damning the join, okay? 8 reasons why you'd be a damn fool for not hopping on this damn ship. Number 1, validation. So being a part of a group with others who have experienced similar things as you provides a shitload of validation and breaks through some of that shame and knowing that you're not the only one that has endured these things. 2, emotional support. So a large part of this healing process is bringing up and feeling all of those suppressed emotions that we have stuffed our entire life. And this is a community that is a safe space for you to do so and to have support while you're doing it. 3, breaking isolation. So in the Big Red Book, it talks about how we cannot heal in isolation. Okay, it says this in the Big Red Book. That's all I'm going to say there. 4, learning from others. So we gain a ton of insights into ourselves by hearing the experiences of others, right? These are insights that you wouldn't necessarily gain by sitting in your therapist's office. 5, encouragement and hope. By seeing other people's progress, recovery, and healing, that can give us so much damn hope and encouragement that the same is possible for us. 6, building healthy relationships. So as I always say, this is relational trauma. We heal relational trauma and save relationships. This is a place where you can do so and where you can practice and develop healthier ways of getting along with other people. 7, you don't want this recovery process to be all doom and gloom. This is some painful shit, but you would also like to maybe have a little fun sometimes and have a little laugh sometimes. And last but not least, 8, it is less than $1 a day. It is less than a damn dollar a day, folks. Is your recovery worth $1 a day to you? I would say so. You can quit after a month. If you don't like it, you got no excuses. I'm sorry. And that's that, folks. I think that's quite compelling. I think that's quite convincing. If that doesn't get you, I really don't know what to say. We need to be just damning the join right now, okay? So take those old fingers of yours, and how about you go to the show notes for this episode, and you're gonna click the damn the join hyperlink. And don't forget to give me a little follow on the Insta, on the TikTok, and give me a damn 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify. Thank you, love
they
you
say
all.
That I should damn the join shit show. They say that that's where people go to heal. They say that I'll feel seen and heard like I have never failed before. So I'm going to damn the join right now.
So this comes from Journey to the Heart, which is another one of Melody Beattie's daily meditations. Heal your fear of abandonment. Some say the fear of abandonment is a universal fear. It's common to most people in most places. It is that anguishing, heartbreaking moment when we believe someone is going to leave us. For many of us, the fear began when some important person did leave or abandon us physically or emotionally. Now the very thought of it happening again terrifies us. Although the fear may be universal, if we have it, it still belongs to us. It needs to be faced, felt, acknowledged, and released. It needs to be healed, or else it may control our lives and harm our relationships. Sometimes we may fear being abandoned so much that we don't want anyone to leave us, even the people we don't like, because it triggers that old familiar feeling. If we don't deal with it, however, people can use it against us. All they have to do is threaten to leave, and we crumble, acquiesce the mere thought of feeling that way again. Underneath the fear of abandonment, another fear may lurk too, a deeper fear, the fear that somehow we've made the people we love go away. Sometimes in our lives, certain people have had to go away because that is where their path led them. But if they felt confused, guilty, or uncertain about the leaving, they may have lied to us. They may have told us we did something wrong. We caused the separation. It was our fault that they were leaving, and their lie became embedded in us. Did someone tell that lie to you? Tell yourself something different. Tell yourself the truth. You don't make people go away. You weren't the cause. If someone needed to leave you, that was his or her choice. Heal your fear of abandonment. Set yourself and others free. If only it was that easy. I'll just heal your fear of abandonment. Okay, cool, lady.
Shut down the podcast. We're all healed.
Okay, you good?
No need for any more.
For years, I've been saying to my therapist that I was so scared of what other grief would come up when I would lose Kiki. And I just knew that there was a lot of grief and loss, both cumulative loss, ambiguous loss, that hadn't really been felt. And so there was always been this just really deep fear that I was just going to absolutely crumble and fall apart and just not be able to handle it at all. And I was so scared for how I was going to feel this morning when I woke up. And I felt okay. I was just saying that it was a lot harder for me when I came home tonight after being out of the house for a while. That was a lot harder. It was just walking into the empty house. But the fear of the love being ripped away, and also just being really fear of how much of this is going to trigger my abandonment trauma. And what I'll say is, especially today, at least, the crying feels really different. It's not as scary. Like, I'm thinking about in past, like in relationships, if I'm in it, if I'm like in a trauma response, or I think that I'm being, you know, being emotionally abandoned or abandoned by somebody who's usually just like a total like loser anyways, the crying associated with that, it's very panicky, irrational, and scary. And just me wanting to have it stop right away. And just now, like a little bit before I hopped on the meeting, and I was able to kind of notice it while I was doing it, but just like looking at pictures and crying, but like, I don't know, it didn't feel like it was going to take over me, which is something that I've never experienced before. This feels good from the perspective of, I don't feel like I'm in an emotional flashback. And I think that that's what I was most scared of, is just spinning into that place and feeling like I'm going to die and just not being able to get myself out of it. And, this feels more like actual grief and loss and not like a terrified little girl, you know? And I was thinking in the reading, it's like, we're afraid that people are going to leave us. Well, no, really ultimately what it is like, we feel like we're going to die. That's really what abandonment equals, is like abandonment equals death. And that's why it feels so fucking scary. The unconditional love piece, like the younger part of me, and I need to tease this out a little bit more, but for me, it's not that I'm unworthy of love or unconditional love, but it's this belief that other people won't see it in me. It's like, I feel like I see it in myself, but I think that other people won't see it in me. And I was also thinking about that from the perspective of the relationship with my parents, in the sense that, as I always share, how they never were verbally abusive, and they told me that they loved me, or they told me that they thought this or that, but when it really came down to it, actions didn't match their words. So it's like, on the surface, I'm getting this message that I'm lovable, but I'm not feeling like I'm lovable. So I really just want to thank you all, even though you guys weren't physically with me, like I really felt supported. I really felt supported so much. Thank God I had this community to support me as I go through this, because This is like the scariest thing I've ever had to walk through. So I'm so grateful for you all, and I love you all so much, and really miss Kiki so much. So that's all. Floor's open. Share, 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 share. You fools.
Okay, this fool will speak.
Mosquito chasing fool.
You know how you describe losing Kiki? It reminded me, I've lost both my parents, and I was there when they both passed away. And I was there when my business partner passed away in his mid-60s. And for me, it was always the air quotes suffering before they died. Not that there was a ton of suffering, but, you know, there was some level of suffering. It's not like you're going to a walk in the park. But right after all three of those people that were important to me passed, there was a bit of relief and serenity, you know? And so for me, it was always the anticipation of somebody passing that was more anguish than the actual passing. Not that the grief isn't there afterwards, but just maybe that resonates with you, Andrea. And then what you said about your parents, you know, for me, it was that implicit shame that was carried upon me. I know they loved me. They did the best they could. There wasn't any abuse, any verbal abuse, but the messaging wasn't that. You know, the neglect gave me different messaging. You know, the neglect gave me messaging that I didn't matter, that I wasn't worthy, that I was unlovable. You know, so being there, but not being there. I had parents that were there, but they weren't really there, and they still fucked me up. God rest in peace. That's all I got.
Hey, so, you know, I've been reading all the texts in here and writing back. And when I saw your video, oh my gosh, I just felt so bad for you. I could tell part of me was just impressed that you could go there. Because, I mean, I've dealt with a lot of loss and I just looked the other way. I've never really stared it down and kind of felt like, you know, you were doing that. A lot of strength. But gosh, I know about the pet thing and the cats. We have two cats and there's one that kind of likes me a lot. I don't know why, but she'll kind of, you know, always be around wherever I am. And I thought to myself a long time ago, and I told my husband, I was like, I want her ashes in my coffin whenever I go, because this cat, I'm so touched that she loves me. I don't, but it's obvious she does. And oh my gosh, I feel for you. And I'm just thinking of you and pulling for you. It's so hard, but you're doing it. You're doing it. You're somehow doing it. So that's all I got.
You know, hearing and feeling the grief, and then what Chris just said had me thinking, you know, my brother, when he was sick, he died pretty quickly after being sick. And so did my mom. And I just, you know, I can identify with that. Like, we're grieving before it happens. You know, the grieving process starts when we know what the outcome is going to be. And I can totally identify with that. And especially with you, with what you were going through. And I think, you know, and what you're still going through, I could also identify with that feeling of, and I felt so guilty about it. When it happened, I didn't notice it as much with my mom because I was younger, but with my brother, it was only a few years ago. And I felt so bad, like so guilty, because there was a part of me that was, when he finally did pass away, was watching him go was so hard for me. You know, and I can say that without like feeling guilt or shame about it. Like, it wasn't me feeling bad for him. It was me feeling bad for me watching him. And when he finally passed away, that feeling of, you know, as much as sad as I was, it was almost like a sense of relief that it was over and I was able to just exhale. And I don't know, I think it's a little different, and maybe it's not, but I feel like, you know, when a pet or any loved one leaves us, I don't want to say they're not abandoning us, but it's not the same. Like, they left because they had to leave. They were, you know, people who have left us, they're sick. They had to leave. They didn't want to any more than we wanted them to. So I think that's, for me, like why that feeling is different. But yeah, like for me, what I'm noticing now with my own abandonment wounds and just being able to acknowledge that I actually have a fear of abandonment has helped me so much. Being able to say it without feeling shame, because I think that, like, for me, it's all about the shame. Like, Andrea, you talked about your parents, my parents too. Like, they never told me I wasn't any good. They never called me names. In many ways, they built me up, but their words, like you said, didn't manage. Their words and actions didn't match. So that feeling of unworthiness, that shame is just so built in. Feeling that I'm not good enough, feeling that I'm not enough, and ultimately believing that no one will stay because I'm not enough. But the awareness of what I'm feeling and the awareness of where it's coming from and just being able to talk about this has helped me so much, because I can identify now more, not always, but in many cases, I can identify this feeling, where it's coming from. And I can also, I can rationally, or I don't know, I can tell myself, like, it's not happening in the now. You know, when I get that feeling, that panicky feeling, or I'm feeling insecure or unsure, or I need reassurance, you know, I can see now that this isn't necessarily what's happening now. This is what happened then, but I'm feeling it now. And it just makes it so much easier to work through most of the time. So yeah, I just wanted to say, I'm so sorry. And I love you. And we'll all get through this together, right?
We have to. We don't really have another choice.
Right. We don't.
Yeah. You know, the only kind of reality shows I like to watch are real estate reality shows, because I like to see all the houses and all the stuff. And sometimes I just speed through the drama on them. But one of them that I watch, and I usually binge watch them all like in one day or something like that, or a couple of days, they had their dog, you know, this couple that used to be a couple, but they're not anymore. They had a dog for 18 years. And in the series, they had to put the dog down because it had all of a sudden acute kidney failure, right? And that's what happened to my dog last year. I was in this group like a week, maybe. And I don't think I'd ever even shared in the group or anything. And I remember sitting there in the group, listening to everybody and just crying and thinking, if I open my mouth, I'm going to have to say, I have to go put my dog to sleep tomorrow. I just was like, and just the thought of the minute I said that to myself, it was like, oh, you're going to do that tomorrow? Because, and then I remember getting to the vet, and somebody had lent me some sweaters, and my dogs are used to living in the Bay Area. And so now they're up in the mountains. So it was really cold. I took this sweater off this dog, and this dog was so skinny, and he was screaming bloody murder. He didn't want to be in the vet and everything else. So, you know, I walked out of the vet and I just was hysterical. And this feeling came over me, and it was like, if you don't calm down, you're not going to feel his presence. Because when people and things pass in my life, they usually hang around for a few weeks, and I can feel their presence, you know, just around, right? And most of the stress was leading up to the moment of making the decision. And I remember calling the vet, and I go, I think I need to put my dog to sleep. And they said, okay, come in at 11. And I was like, wait, I was hoping you'd say like next week. You know, you can never get into the vet, right? And then my daughter-in-law's father said the same thing when he had to do it. It was like, yeah, he wanted to say, yeah, 3 weeks from now you can come in, you know. But no, it's like the kid, you can. I called him at 7 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, one of the things that I have learned this week is, where can I go? You know, when I was doing my IFS this week, it was like, instead of being more of something, he was saying, ask your parts to pull their energy back, and then yourself can come in. Instead of trying to bring yourself or your higher, whatever you want to call that, instead of trying to be, you know, come from that more adult place, you know, ask your parts or your unhealed places if they could just pull back some of their energy. And it was super interesting because, like, I used to be Christianed up and go to Christian churches and stuff like that. And they had this concept that if you were married, you were married to, it was a triangle, you were married to somebody, but your commitment was to God. And so when you were in a marriage, you committed to God. And if you were fighting with your partner all the time, you were distracting God or your partner from being able to, for them to connect so that God could heal whatever was causing the fighting or whatever. And it kind of reminded me of that, because it's like, when I get so hysterical, because I get hysterical sometimes when I'm crying and upset.
Crying, Peter.
Is that you know, just being able to have some tools to go, okay, I don't have to do something from my higher self. I can ask my lower self if they could just back off for a second and, you know, back off a little bit, because I don't really need them right now. I don't need that hysteria. And it's just a super interesting concept, because when I back them off, I'm connected to God again. But as long as I'm connected to them and the hysteria, and that I have to try to do something to fix or try to make myself feel better or try to, you know, regulate myself or whatever, God can't come in, because I'm like self-will run riot and I'm going around in circles and I'm like this hysterical hamster. But, you know, it was just kind of really interesting, because my days are numbered with John. You know, he's like, he went today. It's like everything he does is, this is probably the last time this is ever going to happen. And, you know, I've had him for, I don't know, 16 or 17. I don't even know how long I've had him for. I've had him since like 2007 or 2008. And it's almost as long as you have a kid for, right? Because you have a kid for like 18 years and they go to college or whatever. And it's kind of like the same thing. But with all of this going on, and my heart just goes out to you, Andrea, it's just every moment I have with that puppy, I am just so grateful for every moment, because I've always known it's kind of coming, but this has really ratcheted up, putting it in my face a little bit. But anyways, I hope everybody has a really nice evening. And the meetings this week have just been phenomenal. I've gotten so much out of all of them. This perspective one just blew my mind. So thanks.
All right, my shit show ladies, let me tell you about how I can make getting dressed so much easier for you. Armoire is a clothing rental membership where you get to build your perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you got to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and then select from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new to you styles. So I love this because I'm on video quite often on interviews and social media content, and I don't want people to be like, is that the only shirt that this girl owns? I also would not consider myself in the know of what's hot and what's not. But with Armoire, I get to pretend like I'm a fashionista. So this is perfect for working moms, for stay-at-home moms, for any women who just don't feel like going to the store. Now, right now, you shit show ladies can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off your first month. So that is up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/littlechild. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/littlechild to get 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear ever again. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? So Katherine Heigl, you know her from Grey's Anatomy, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says that she's seen more issues with dog joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health: their food. So what she's discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. But fortunately, she has found that by just adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformation in their health. And she has made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, y'all know I'm a cat lady. Y'all know that Kiki is the queen of the shit show here. But I watched this video and there's actually some things that I can apply to her health. So hopefully she'll live another 15 years or so. So go to badlandsfood.com/adultchild and watch Catherine's video. Again, that is badlandsfood.com/adultchild. Okay, shit show dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shit show ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway, night sweats, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, bloating, gas, man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my younger shit show women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat everything in the damn house, you feel a little bit down or off, well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today.
You were talking about if this loss was going to bring up your Bantam issues and that kind of thing. And I was thinking about the difference between when I thought I was going to die, you know, when a partner didn't want me. And that was like an imaginary, there was no real relationship there. That was me having an expectation that they were going to give me the love that I didn't feel for myself. And that's totally different than losing my dog or my mom. And that's a real loss of a real relationship. And the feelings are hard, but they make sense, you know? So that's what I was thinking about that. And then the part that's been, you know, I took on this committee chair position, and I have a part that's over responsible. And like I was sharing about the puppy, I'm over responsible about the puppy. I'm over responsible about this committee thing. And I was complaining about it in an email with one of the people in that, not that I don't directly work with. And she said, just because somebody wants you to do something doesn't mean you have to do it. And I just like, oh, so emotional, like that part does not want to let go. You know, it just feels so scary to me that I could actually do that. This part is really alive right now. And it's showing me a lot of things. It's just interesting, all that, the emotion that's behind it. So that's what's up. Thank you for being here and being real and holding us all.
Hello, I'm reporting live from my car this evening on the road back from my college town, where I just did a presentation for my company to prospective, I guess you call them recruits, whatever people we hire. And I came back and did this last year. I interviewed people on campus. And prior to that, I hadn't been back probably in like 5 or 6 years. And I'm having like a real-time experience of some just interesting feelings that are coming up. Just even by comparison to last year, I'm just a different person. And then I was able to go on campus and see people and like experience what's going on without this shroud of sadness around it, this regret about how life was for me back then. Coming up on 16 years in November of my family completely falling apart my first semester of college, and how that just like colored so much of my life for so long. And when I got there today, I could tell the sadness was present, but it wasn't a part of me. I was kind of experiencing it as like its own separate entity off to the side, and able to kind of enjoy the experience for what it is and be very present with the fact that my life is so much better than it was 15 years ago, so much better than it was even just a year ago. And it feels like I have access to that period of devastation that I felt without it taking over or without it defining who I am as a person. And it's just interesting. It's like I went and picked my kid up from school and he's sitting in the passenger seat and he's still like got the rain clouds, but I'm able to observe it without taking it on. And it feels, I don't know how it feels yet. I'm not there yet, but it feels significant and it feels important. And I hope that this is a further step in my journey of getting access to myself. And it's a good moment. Happy to be here. Glad I got to join the meeting and glad to see you all. Thank you.
Hey, today was pretty good, but I don't know why the hell I have to keep triggering myself, but I'm feeling that, the kind of the death, the panic feeling. And I was not expecting it at all. I don't know what's wrong with me. I thought I'm fine. I thought I'm in a good space. And then I was like, I have this thing where I like to kind of dig up the past sometimes. And my only intention is just like, oh, you know, I kind of wonder how they're doing. And I do that. And out of nowhere, I just wanted to check in on somebody. It was my first girlfriend when I was 14. And I was not expecting to feel anything. I thought it's just like checking in. Like I have no ulterior motives or anything. But it's like all of this, like this pain that I had no idea was still there. I know in general, this is 20 years old. And it's just fucked up. And hopefully it'll pass soon. But then at the other light, I'm just thinking, well, you know, I'm not running from it. But it's like, I cannot believe that it's this intense. And I know that it can't be from that or from this person. But it was just, it was so, I just remember being that age. And it was so much anxiety. It was like the just classic, like, anxious and avoidant kind of type of relationship. But like, I've never felt that anxious about a relationship. And that was the first time I ever felt judged. I felt like, and maybe that's just kind of shame. Like I felt like I wasn't good enough. And like, man, I don't know why it hurt so much, but hopefully I just realized, I think I need to stop doing this. And I didn't realize that I was making a bad move emotionally. Like this is totally unexpected.
Hey, I really get the panic cry thing. I just totally get it. But I also kind of get it on this level because, so my dad was diagnosed with cancer when I was 3. And so my mom, that kind of explains the anxious attachment because, you know, people were worried, but he was also the abuser. So he had throat cancer and he had radiation. And this is so, we're like the Bad News Bears family. But anyway, so when anytime he ate, he could only swallow once and it had to go down. And so if he didn't, he would like choke. And so like the funny part of it was like, we'd go to restaurants and get free meals because he'd choke during the meal, but you couldn't like enrage him or piss him off because he would choke. And then and that's not fun when you're 7, you know? So it's like this silent, tense meal because dad's going to choke. So anyway, but he also was a terrible individual, but he died when I was 23, but it was just like, I mean, it's that title of that book, like, I'm glad my mom's dead. He just was the source of, well, actually now that I'm in therapy, my mom had a lot to, you know, add to it too. But it just took so long for this fucking dude to just die, you know? But then when he did, it was like, I just felt like the mobile strings were cut and we were all just like floating just in space without any kind of anchor. So as it relates to me when in relationships now, like he was a terrorizing individual. And so I have a deep fear of relationships and men, but then I also don't have like a self to kind of go back to. And so that panic would just be like, I didn't really like the relationships that I was in, but I was also, who's going to run this terrible life? You know what I mean? Like, it's so stupid. You know, it's who's going to drive this Volkswagen Beetle with the flat tires and the freaking windshield cracked, because it was just so stupid. But anyway, like relationships are hard just in general. But yeah, so my dad really gave me like a polarizing kind of idea of what relationships are. And it just really sends you into just a panic, you know, but I've always been alone. And I like, which is so weird too, because I'm really, you know, I've taken care of myself for 50 years. So I've done a pretty good job. And then the other thing too is, I don't know where I heard this, but since animals are pure love, that is why they don't need to be on this planet very long, because they have already graduated from Earth school. And so they're just here to be pure love. And I had a dog when I was growing up, and I remember just wondering like, how the fuck can this dog be so loving and happy to see everybody? And in all of this chaos, like the dog was the only thing that was like the guiding light for me, because, you know, I have so many just wonderful memories with so many different animals in my life. And they really have been like my security and my, you know, teachers. So anyway, yeah, pure love. All right. That's my share.
Hi, Christy. I love that you said that. And it reminded me of like when things were weird in my house growing up. Like there were so many times when I wished I could be my dog. Like I just wanted to switch bodies and brains with my dog. Like if I like often, I don't know if any, I saw a couple people nod. I don't know if anyone else ever thought that too. But I, from this reading, although the fear may be universal, if we have it, it still belongs to us. So it needs to be faced, felt, and acknowledged and released. It needs to be healed or else it'll control our lives and harm our relationships. This still, like, I feel like I'm so far away from still actually being able to like feel any of this. And I know, like, I can see and acknowledge, like, I know that I have major fears of abandonment. Like, I know it exists. Usually in the moment, I can't identify when it's actually happening and coming up, but I know, like, I know that it's there. But I, like, when I hear things like this in like literature and in readings, I like go to this place, this thought place of like, here it is again, like my body can't feel it. I'm never going to be able to release it because I can't access this, you know, and I kind of get stuck in that space. I thought when I was kind of expecting, when I stopped like drinking and smoking, that I was going to have, like, I was going to start to experience more feelings in my body. Like, I think that'll come. But the only thing that's been happening recently that I notice is, I don't even know what the right word is, if the right word is triggered by something, or if something happens, if I'm like reading and it reminds me of something, or just like sometimes seemingly randomly, like my tongue will get swollen and feel like really tingly. And like sometimes my fingertips. And then it'll just like stay like that, like for a while. And maybe it'll go away after like an hour. Maybe it'll go away after a couple minutes. And like, that is the physical sensation that I am feeling. And that is the physical experience that I've been having for the last 2 months. And I can't like get past it. I don't know what it's about, but it also just feels like nothing. Like it's barely even in my body. Like it's my tongue. What is this? There's some like deep, deep post comments on Reddit CPTSD about it. But like not a whole lot. And it's just like, I don't know, like I feel so stuck and like frustrated and like not being able to feel things. And it has me worried too, even about like accessing a relationship with a higher power, which is now something that I'm like putting more of an actual, like a real concerted effort into, instead of just, you know, like reading and talking about it. But the person that I'm working with is like, you know, when you like feel things in your gut, I'm like, no. you know, I call it my God gut. I'm like, well, I don't know if I have one of those, you know, like I just feel so like lost in it. And then I know that maybe it's just that I'm frustrated about how slow this all is. It feels so painstakingly slow. and I think that's probably just it. But yeah, I guess it just is so, like, it feels really frustrating. And that's what that part of that brings up for me.
Terrible joke. Somebody said about wanting to be an animal, being a dog. The only thing that came up was, why do dogs lick their, I won't fill in the blanks, because they can. That's the only time I wanted to be a dog. Death and abandonment. So, like, parents died. It was natural. No abandonment feeling. I've got this sister. She had I didn't know what year it was. Like, she was probably 12 years ago, no, longer, 15 years ago, she had the Widowmaker heart attack. She was in Colorado. I thought she was going to die. I was so distraught for that potential loss because that relationship hadn't really existed. I knew she had suffered in her life, so I had a lot of, I'm going to say pity versus compassion at that point because I didn't know the difference, but I was really sorry for her life, and I was inconsolably distraught because we hadn't had a relationship and her life was really tough. So now we're getting, you know, trying to reconnect and create a relationship. And she's 61 years old. I'm not going to say morbidly obese, but she's a big gal and she smokes. And part of me doesn't want to get close to her because I'm afraid she's going to die. And, you know, my abandonment manifested as the avoidant type. So getting close to people is really difficult because they're going to leave me, you know? So to me, like even an intimate relationship, fall in love, get married, you know, and then they die on you. I mean, to me, that would be, I don't know that I would quote unquote recover, you know? So it's almost easier as the avoidant to whatever, not get close because, you know, to try to avoid that pain. But it was pointed out to me today with a dude I do some work with. He's like, you're going to have the pain either way. So you can try not to get close and still have pain, or you can get close and still have pain. Feels like it's easier to try to control it and do the avoidance behavior, but I think he's right. I just don't have the kahunas yet to do that, but working on it.
I've been in therapy for a couple years, and I feel like I've barely scratched the surface on this particular topic because it feels so inaccessible to me right now. I have this knowing that, like, part of letting go of my fear of abandonment is being so confident in that I won't abandon myself. But it's so much more layered than that, because in relationship, in order to maintain relationship and not feel that neglect or abandonment, I had to learn to abandon myself. So, like, that's my default. And so creating new neural pathways around that and new habits, I feel like it's going to be a long road. And also, same with what Chris was saying about the avoidant attachment style, that I absolutely developed avoidance in order to keep people at arm's length, not getting too close, so that I could, in essence, protect myself from feeling that, like, abandonment or neglect when somebody eventually decides that they don't want to be in my life anymore, or they want to disconnect from me. And I have no idea how to work on that. Like, it's because I'm so comfortable there, you know? I don't know. Part of the reason for me joining this group was to facilitate, like, opening myself up in a group setting, opening myself up to a relationship, because these are relational wounds and they need to be healed relationally. But even still, like, it is so freaking scary. And every time I even, like, try to share, my heart rate goes up. My nervous system gets a little dysregulated. I get cortisol dumps. I get, like, shaky. So it's been a practice for the past several months that I've been a part of this group. And I thank you guys for allowing me to, like, be here and share. It's been great. And I think my therapist can see, like, an improvement in my overall relational abilities, but still have a long freaking way to go. Yeah. And also, I think my parts are scared to touch on this abandonment wound. And, like, that's why it's been so inaccessible to me. So anytime I notice something like that, where, like, I'm having a hard time touching on something or, like, digging into something, I just allow my parts to have their space with it. And when they're ready and when I'm ready, it'll come up and I'll be hopefully more prepared to deal with it and be able to create that, like, safe space for them and myself.
I think the topic of abandonment, I think I have some work to do. I need to dig into it more. I think for me, it's clear that I have a fear of rejection, but as I'm thinking about it, it's like, is rejection not just the baby step before abandonment? In a way, I don't know. I think I have a hard time, if it's not sort of the extreme form of something, I have a hard time really identifying the nuance and the gray area, or, yeah, like, potentially how or where it's showing up in my body if it's not the extreme form. So, yeah, abandonment. I mean, I've certainly definitely suffered various abandonment in my life from family. When I was about 14 or 15, my dad left, and then his parents, so my grandparents, proceeded to cut off communication with us because they didn't know how to act. So there's about a good, like, 10-year stretch where I wasn't in contact with my grandparents. So, and then I could see how that abandonment wound showed up later in life in the workplace, where I was working at a really small company and we were all really tight knit. And then we were acquired by a bigger company. And when we moved over, everyone essentially got to stay together except for me. They pulled me away and put me in this completely different department with new people that I didn't get along with. And I was having such a hard time adjusting, and I can just, at the time, I was able to recognize those parallels and how I felt, yeah, like those same feelings of being ostracized and just like cut out from the people that I felt closest with. So, but that's the thing. It's like it takes that extreme form of it for me to be able to connect the dots and see it. So yeah, I feel like I just have a lot more learning and research to do around the topic. So that is my share. Thank you.
So
this has been a great fucking meeting. I love this. It's amazing to see how much growth all of us have made. Like my psychiatrist today was telling me about how specifically me, but like not giving ourselves credit for how far we've come and remembering where we were and how bad it was when I came in. And I'm just a few weeks away from my 3-year soberversary in Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. And when I came in, I was just such a wreck. And I relate to so much what everyone said of that pit of your stomach, the loneliness, the pure, awful thought of just being alone and needing to feel validation through another person, just needing it, knowing no other way to get it. And that was me when I came in, and I needed that boyfriend, that person to do that thing, to say the thing, to do the action, to whatever it was, so that I could be okay, because I was never okay on my own. And going through that withdrawal was awful, like gut-wrenching, like fetal position on the floor of my room crying, because I had no way to validate myself, like whatsoever. And today I do, and I don't need that. And it's like a crazy, like a total God thing, like a higher power that has like shown me how I can do it for myself. And I'm not perfect at it, and I'm not great at it, but I'm so much better than I was. And like that love that we can find is like so beautiful, because like no one can take it away from us. Like I haven't been lonely for the past 2 years because of this, which is just crazy, just mind boggling, because I was so desperate and lonely my whole life. And I'm not today. And I'm not desperately searching for that other person to complete me. Like I'm not half a person, I'm a whole person, and I can wholly love myself, and I can love other people better too, and I can let them love me too, because I'm bad at that as well. I'm bad at a lot of this shit, but like learning how to accept that love and give that love back out to others is just such a crazy gift of this program. Like the promises are so true, and I'm just really grateful for that. And I'm grateful for all of you. And we're all doing the damn work, so keep doing it. We got this. What you holding on to? Just let it all go. What's making you slow now? Just let it all go.